The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin. In Texas.
I'm Josh Peck.
And I'm Ben Soffer.
And we're the good guys. There's a lot of guys out there.
And we're the good ones.
Mazel morons, welcome back to your favorite podcast, the biggest podcast this side of the Mississippi.
Joshy, I am just so proud of you. That's it. Look, the Oscars, they happened last night. We won. Do we get a little trophy? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, but you have to buy it on Hollywood Boulevard.
Really? We don't get anything?
Nothing. Zilch. Nada. Bubkiss.
What does that mean? Like, even, I was thinking about this. If you win an NBA championship and you played on the team for like 2 days, they still send you a ring.
You get a ring, right? You get a ring.
Yeah. You're telling me you don't get even a miniature? We get nothing?
Not a necklace, not a brooch, nothing. Oh, can you imagine an Academy brooch?
What the fuck? And we've been having on all these Oppenheimer guys. We're talking about Nolan left and right. We don't even get a little trophy.
I'm telling you. Well, technically, the Best Picture Award is an award to the producers because, in theory, they put together the picture. But
all that they're talking about the whole time is this is a collective effort. This couldn't be done without each and every one of you. And then. Oh, what the hell? Honestly, we should pick it.
Welcome to my set of town, babe. It's not fair over here, and it never will be.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, then I prematurely posted last night. I put up a story on the Good Guys Instagram, and yes, folks, that is me posting. That is me. It's not some intern or assistant. It's just me. I wrote, we won. And sure, we won, but we don't get anything. If you don't get anything, I certainly get nothing. The morons get nothing. I think we should make something so that we at least have it.
So we went to a viewing party, a lovely, beautiful viewing party that Universal threw for basically the B squad. Anyone not invited to the main event. But it was lovely and it was so nice to be invited. And so after we won Best Picture, they put out napkins that said, congratulations, Oppenhomies. And I, of course, being the cynical curmudgeon that I am, said, was there another set of napkins just in case? And they looked at me and said, yeah. And I was like, all right, good to know.
And now those are in Africa. That's my favorite thing. Like when you see those pictures of like these like African teens wearing Super Bowl losing T-shirts where it's like, congrats to the
49ers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love those because they have to make both.
They have to. It's funny. I've been lucky enough to go to two Stanley Cup finals for the LA Kings when they won the Stanley Cup. Wow. And I literally like. The game ends, everyone celebrates, and you see the vendors literally like pull up just brand new hats, shirts, LA Kings, Stanley Cup winners. I'm like, well, where would this have gone had they not won?
It's such a good question. Secondary market? I don't know. I don't know. Who wants to buy that? I guess it's all international. It's all international.
But I have heard if you can, they do a lot to make sure that you can't get it in the States. So if you are to find like, you know, a 49ers Super Bowl winning shirt, goes for good money. Maybe that's our second business.
Selling the losers of the Super Bowl t-shirts? Yeah,
maybe instead of a third episode a week, we start a secondary market like that. I prefer it.
Maybe instead of a fourth.
I'm out of stuff to say, Ben. Ben scares the shit out of me because he's like, you know, I could do a third. I'm like, I can't.
You know what's so funny? So I was going through just today all of the reviews, reading all of the lovely things that the morons have to say. And all they want is more episodes of me and you. Folks, we got nothing else left to say. We need the guests to create new conversation.
So true. Oh, we lean on those guests, baby, especially the ones that are mean to you. So what is this? People think Howie Mandel was mean to you?
Yeah, people think that Howie Mandel was mean to me. And if you think he was mean to me on our episode, you should check out his.
That we record, is good.
We recorded two episodes, one on our podcast, one on his podcast. And the one on his podcast, honestly, I should have worn a brown paper bag over my face.
Stop it. You were outstanding. And I was cackling. I remember, didn't I write you? I was listening to that episode because I was pretty sure that I didn't come off well. And then I was cackling at some of your commentary.
No, they were both great episodes. I thought the Howie episode was absolutely fantastic. And look, I do appreciate it that the morons are protective. They want to make sure that we are positioned in the best light possible. It is what it is, and that's all that you can want from listeners of your podcast. So thank you very much. That said, when we can get a guest like a Howie Mandel sharing the Good Guys podcast is great for the Good Guys podcast. So even if he smears me a little or says something that maybe you don't love, it's all for the good of the pod.
It's all for the good of the pod. We're trying to grow this thing, babe. What's good for the pod is good for the gander. I don't know what that means, but it's good for you idiots.
It's good for you idiots. Back to the Oscars. The Oscars, did you watch it? You didn't, right?
So the party that Universal threw was a viewing party, and then it turned into an after party. So that starts at around 4 o'clock in LA. And I said to my wife, there's no way we're getting there at four because I know how these things go. So we got there around 6 o'clock for all like when it was really getting exciting and really like people are, you know, this is happening. Beautiful Jack Victor suit, velvet coat, just saying. I realized velvet only works in super formal wear and or loungewear. I'm talking a velour tracksuit, which is the only thing I'm going to wear after I'm 55.
Wait, so you did end up getting a new suit?
Yes, because it was gifted. Thank you, Jack Victor.
Very. All right, good. No, but we'll take it. Excellent. Excellent.
Jack Victor suit, Bruno Magli shoes, old school.
Thank God. Wow.
Come on, made in
Very
Italy.
Good.
Italy, heard of it?
Very good.
Italia.
You know? So who was at this after party?
It was basically everyone like 15 and above on the call sheet for Oppenheimer. So, and it's also The Holdovers, which is a Universal picture, excellent movie, but it was basically the lion's share of the Oppenhomies group chat, which is now very infamous and just the greatest people and a lot of actors like the great Krumholtz and just great actors, people I've known throughout my whole life. And yeah, it's cool to be close to the moment because you do dream about it in some sense. And it's cool to see that it's fabulous to take it to like the final yard, like to cross that finish line. And it's also cool to see that like, and then you wake up the next morning and there's traffic and there's, you know, and they get your order wrong at Starbucks and you're like, yeah. And then life comes back. But it is funny because I was able to see the great Cillian Murphy, Best Actor Award winner. And I had, you know, 20 seconds with him and I introduced him to my beautiful wife, Paige. And I looked at him and I said, Cillian, is it like you always imagined? Is it like how you dreamed of? And he said, no, I never dreamed of it.
Said, no, Josh, I don't give a rat's ass about this award.
And I was like, Cillian, you and I are so different.
Yeah.
I was like, what about a Kids' Choice Award? You ever one of those? But he was as lovely as he was the first day on set as he was winning the big prize. And so it was cool. And my wife, I got to say, and I'd love to hear this because you and your wife go to some big events where she gets all dolled up. I looked at my stunning wife and I give her a hard time here, mostly because she won't canoodle with me. I digress. But I looked at my wife. She looks so beautiful. And I was like very proud to introduce her as my wife to these people. And I felt like a lucky man.
That is just beautiful. That is just beautiful.
You have
those
moments?
The great Paige Peck. Every day. Every day. Every day. Clause
every
number
day.
One.
Every day. Day.
Every day. Can you put down your gun? No.
No, there's not kidding. Some days where she's yelling at you for leaving a sock on the couch where you're like, you know, there was...
That's also every day.
There was one girl at Yeshiva that could have been, you know, maybe would have given me less shit.
That's also every day. Every day is a new day. It's a magical day. It's just the best. Just the best.
You know Element is the best way to get electrolytes. You know you need electrolytes. If you get brain fog, if you get fatigue, if you get muscle cramps, and you're like, what is this? It's probably because you're just not getting enough electrolytes. And weirdly, even if you're drinking water, you still might not be getting enough. Look, healthy hydration, it's not just about drinking water. You need the electrolytes. And both need to be replaced, water and sodium, to prevent muscle cramps, headaches, energy dips that result from either dehydration or low electrolytes. Now, most people, they only replace the water because since the 1940s, we've been told to drink 8 glasses of water a day, thirsty or not. I know. I'm so proud of you. You're so impressive. But drinking beyond thirst isn't a good idea. Did you know about that? This is the way our bodies regulate blood volume and fluid balance. And when you need more fluids, you get thirsty. And when you drink plain water beyond thirst, it dilutes blood electrolyte levels. You see how I came back around? I went up front and I said, hey, I'll meet you out back. And then I was out back. Look, the consequences of that is headaches, low energy, cramps. But when you enter Element into the conversation, you're going to get everything that you need from potassium, magnesium, sodium. There's no junk. It works for a paleo diet, a keto diet, whether you intermittent or long-term fast, Element's got you covered. So Element came up with a fantastic offer for us. Just go to drinkelement.com/goodguys to get a free sample pack with any purchase.
I watched the whole Oscars.
Mm.
I have some thoughts. I also saw Oppenheimer. And for the real morons, only real morons know that I hadn't seen Oppenheimer yet. Everybody assumed I had seen Oppenheimer because what kind of a shitbag friend doesn't see the movie? I made sure I said, I'm going to fucking see this movie before the Oscars. I don't care if it's not on a Delta flight. I'm going to sit down. Josh told me he was on Peacock. We got Peacock and we watched Oppenheimer. And first and foremost, what an unbelievable movie.
Really
unbelievable
good.
Movie from start to finish. I absolutely loved it. And just the fact that we got to see your beautiful face a couple of times throughout made it like the cherry on top of what was just an incredible film. My biggest takeaway, though, Albert Einstein was alive during World War II.
You didn't know?
I had no idea. It's like one of those like Picasso died in 1970. Don't you feel like Picasso was like from the 1700s? I can't explain it. Like there's something just that felt sure. So much older about Einstein than alive in the 1940s. I think he died in like 1963.
Yes, but I think it was like around 1910 that he really did his big thing, right? He peaked in the 10s. And
it's still just so, I couldn't believe it. Like I'm looking at this like big Jufro white hair. I'm like, that guy looks like Einstein. And then it's Einstein. And I'm like, oh my God, Oppenheimer and Einstein worked together. And it was it was awesome.
He knew it was coming, like that from his sort of revelation, you know, with the theory of relativity, that eventually something like this could happen, right? That a bomb could be created. And he wrote a letter to FDR sort of warning him, like, get ready, babe.
It's crazy. And the movie is just so powerful, just about the creation, like such a dark creation that was so necessary, but now we deal with, they even said it last night, I forget who said it, was either Killian or it was Chris. No, it was somebody said that like we now have the responsibility of dealing with what we created. And that's like the sort of essence of the movie and of the main character. And it was amazing.
I mean, Nolan is a genius beyond his wife, Emma, who is the producer, is a badass. Like just those two, the two of them together is a power couple, you know, only second to the Ashri Safar sect. But to me, one of the coolest things about it, now I can say this and you'll get it, it's basically the Jewish Avengers.
Yeah, like, yeah,
basically,
totally.
Oppenheimer's going around and it's like, let me get all the badass Jewish physicists and Richard Feynman and Edward Teller and Isidore Rabi and like an Oppenheimer, of course. Like these were some badass Jews.
Such badass Jews. It's such a cool movie. So cool. Such a great story.
And I just love, in the Jewish Avengers, we pass on the spandex and we prefer wool. Yeah. It's a little more flattering. Yes, yeah. I'm going to schwitz, but it's worth it. Did I tell you this story? When I got the part, and obviously, you know, it's a smaller part, so there weren't that many clues in the script of who this guy was. He was a historical figure, of course. But so I was lucky enough to interview or call my friend, Dr. Brian Keating, who's a Jewish astrophysicist at UC San Diego.
Mm.
And I just said, you know, is there any like water cooler, you know, inside baseball talk amongst physicists, anything I can draw from to help me get into character with this guy? And he's like, here's the thing. Physicists are obsessed with the laws of the universe because physics is the laws of the universe. So trying to understand physics is like trying to understand the mind of God. And I said, I don't think I've ever heard anything more Jewish. Let me tell you, I know what God was thinking. And he's not pleased. So that's, it's very cool. I'm glad you liked it. What did you think of your nemesis, Jimmy Kimmel?
I actually thought that Kimmel was good.
He is good.
He was good. Like, that's how you should host the Oscars. Like, he dug in, he made people feel uncomfortable, but then he made them feel great. He told very strong jokes. He actually, did you see the joke, the Killian joke? I wrote it down. He made a great, great Killian joke.
Oh, yeah?
He said that he's Killian Murphy when he's in a drama. And then when he's in a comedy, they call him Cillian Murphy, which I thought was hilarious. You got to watch the clip. I probably butchered it, but I thought that he was shockingly great. Honestly, I have a full list of people that I'm not apologizing to, but for one night, I thought they were really good when normally I don't think that they're really good. Jimmy Kimmel, really good, really good. Jake Gyllenhaal. No, not Jake. Not Jake. Is that his name?
I don't know. I don't know who you mean.
Barbie.
What the fuck is this? No, Ryan Gosling?
Oh, no. Ryan Gosling.
Antonio Banderas.
Jake Barbie was awesome.
Jake Barbie.
Oh, my God. Ryan Gosling as Ken.
Marshall,
so good.
Marshall, would you have a fling with Ryan Gosling?
Yeah.
Same here.
I'd have a fling with Ryan Gosling. Last night, he was fantastic. They did that stupid song, I'm Just Ken. And even I loved it. I loved it. They just
fantastic.
Did such a good job. It was fantastic. And all that I do is talk about how much I hate that fucking movie, which holds true. But he was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Yes. And shout out my buddy, Kid David Tribeman, who was one of the dancers on stage with him in the cowboy hat.
Really?
Yes.
Very, very cool. Shout out. Shout out.
And
Billie Eilish, I've had enough. I've heard that song one too many times. I've had enough. I'm done.
Solid.
That's it. That's my Oscars recap.
Oh, Marshall, you could go as Phineas for Halloween this year.
100%. If you go as Billy with me.
I could go as Billy.
Okay.
Okay, solid. I'm in. Ben could go as Mrs. Eilish or Mr. Eilish. You can be the parent.
Yeah, that works. I'll go as both parents. Split me down the middle.
Now, obviously, we're not political on the podcast, but we are funny. And so I think it's worth us, you know, talking about something that I thought was really taking advantage of a great opportunity. So I appreciated the execution. But in the New York Post, they wrote, Jimmy Kimmel told not to read Donald Trump's tweet at Oscars 2024. Yes, I am. Someone in charge told him not to read aloud Donald Trump's social post on Truth Social about the 96th Academy Awards. They said, you've got a little bit of time. And he said, I'm reading the Trump tweet. And they're like, no, don't read that. He told Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos. I was like, yes, I am. So, I mean, if you didn't see it, basically throughout the show, former president, God bless, wrote this thing that was pretty disparaging of Jimmy Kimmel and the whole award show. And in real time, Kimmel got up, read the tweet that he wrote, and then had a really funny button joke on the end. So regardless of where you are politically, I think just I appreciated the fact that like in real time, he was able to take advantage of someone kind of talking shit to him and and deflect it.
And told a great joke. Like, yeah. I also thought it was great. I was actually shocked, like, as he was reading, I'm like, Trump really, really wrote that now? And Kimmel right. just pulled it now? Like, it's just so interesting. Like, if I was hosting the Oscars, if you were hosting the Oscars, you're on your phone, like, you're looking, like, at what people are saying about you online, live, while you're doing the Oscars. I can't even, I can't even imagine how much that would stress me out. And, like, it honestly just showed me that Kimmel might be a little bit better than I give him credit for.
Oh, 100%. You're constantly checking in to see what people are thinking of you. And because then you can adjust in real time, or like I do this, which is wrong, but the few events I go to when I'm on a red carpet, within an hour, usually the photos get uploaded to Getty Images and I'm checking. So I'll literally be at the party. And then if suddenly you're like, wow, Josh is a bit of a pep in his step, it means I like the photos. And then if you're like, wow, Josh is in the corner throwing his head into the cement sidewalk, I didn't like the photos. What can you do?
What can you do? And then we'll move on from the Oscars. But like, does Max understand that his dad won an Oscar or no?
No.
He doesn't.
I said,
what did your mom say? Did your mom call you last night?
Yeah, yeah. I'll read you her text messages because they were coming in full and hard body karate.
Read me her text messages and then I want to know the coolest person that you got a text from besides me.
Okay, my mom wrote, so happy for all of you, babe. Ben Kingsley, Nolan is a beauty, 3 hearts. And I said, because I've worked with Ben Kingsley before, and I wrote, yes, it's great. And she writes, you going to some parties? Best line of the night to Trump. Love seeing Sissy Spacek. Love the line, I want to thank my awful childhood. I think that's Robert Downey Jr.
So good. Downey was amazing.
And then she writes, where are you? And I said, I'm at a party. I'll call you tomorrow. And then we debriefed this morning.
Does she write exclusively in caps lock?
Yes.
She does.
That's how I hear it.
Yeah.
What's your texting relationship like with your mom?
Oh, so many emojis. My mom is like emoji land. Like, she'll write out the entire fleet of emojis. Like, I love you. Have a great day. Mushroom, heart, 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 exclamation point, heart, mushroom.
Mushroom?
Lightning bolt. Just anything. I think she just like blindly just like hits the emojis. Big emojier. And my dad is more difficult to read. He also creates his own language.
Great.
So like my dad just writes TYB, which is thank you, baby. He just like writes. He creates his own acronyms that nobody else uses. And in the beginning, you're like, what does this mean? He also loves to voice to text. And so nothing comes out good.
SMHB. What's that, Bruce? So much heartburn.
He's so funny. And he'll sometimes write okay, and then it's like, are you upset at me? Is that like what? Like he's all over the place with his texting. Calling is always the best way to communicate. Always the number one way to communicate.
Oh, I've wanted to ask you this for a while. So Soffer, your last name, as we know, you're a Jewish king, but Soffer could kind of go either way. Has your last name been anglicized? Was it ever Sofferberg or Sofferman?
It was always Sofer. We were scribes.
Say more.
Like the word, like it, Sofer comes from Sefer, which means book, and Sofer means a scribe. So it just became, the pronunciation became a little bit more Americanized, Soffer, but it's really Sofer or Sofer.
Sofer.
And which means that we were big time writers, apparently. Apparently.
That's hot.
Who knows?
Can you imagine you go and do a run of like, you know, like a Hebrew TV show and they introduce you like Benjamin Sofer.
Sounds amazing. Good. I'm so in. Let's get on Israeli TV.
My last name famously has been anglicized because when my mom found out that she was having a baby in 1986, my uncle, God bless him, said, well, I'm so happy for you, but if you are having a boy, you cannot allow him to go through life with the last name Peckerman because I have had to have the last name Peckerman as a man and it was rough. And so my mom... changed it legally before I was born.
Was it more anglicized or was it just like, I never really thought about Peckerman. Like, was it more just like in fear of being made fun of?
No, my mom had gone by Peck since the 60s because of anti-Semitism.
Got it.
But she never officially changed it. She just used it as kind of her working name. Shout out my late uncle, who was the only one of the Peck family who kept Peckerman. And all I know was that he was a great ice skater and he would beat up guys on the New Jersey Turnpike.
The fact that he's a figure skater and in the mafia, we need to make a movie about this man.
My mom would always say, your cousin was such a beautiful ice skater. And had such road rage. So good.
Oh, that's good.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Now, whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website with your audience and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your terms. You know that you need a website, and you know that hiring someone can become expensive, or trying to do it on your own can be really time intensive, and you're gonna have to learn all these things, and then you're gonna have to like download like tutorials and watch it. You don't have time for that. That's where Squarespace comes in. They make it easy because it has a fluid engine, right? So it's got next generation website design system that's gonna make it easy peasy to create. Now, whether you're doing custom merch, it's set up for that. You can design your own products and production inventory. It's all, you know, shipping, it's all handled for you. So you'll save time and money. Or maybe you want to have an online store. Maybe you have a cutie baking business, or you make little knitted caps for infants. Well, you can sell your products on an online store, and whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/goodguys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Who else texted you last night? Anybody?
Did anyone else? Let me see.
Anybody cool? No one. We're getting nothing. We need Page Six to pull something.
No one cool. Like, no, no one cool. Like, all just, you know, the people who I love, but nobody like, oh, Stamos wrote, congrats on your movie, cinema, baby, cinema. Hope you're at a party. Love you. Very nice.
That's nice.
Yeah,
that's
he's
nice.
The
Thanks,
best.
John. Thanks, John.
Shout out, John.
Thanks,
I hope
John.
He doesn't mind I shared our texts.
Yeah, well, it put him in a good light, so I would assume that he'd be happy.
But am I also a wild ass boy that I allowed my wife to shave my head in our living room?
Yes.
Day before one of the biggest events of my life? I'm like, just do it, Paige.
Yes. Oh, this was pre-Oscars.
Yeah, she did it at 3:00 Saturday afternoon because my son, who has a buzz cut, said, I want you to look like me, Dad.
You do look like Max.
You
also look great, but it's definitely wild.
It's a lot, right?
Not the buzz cut. The buzz cut's great. The decision to let your wife cut your hair before the biggest moment in your acting career, one would say, is definitely wild.
It's called self-sabotage.
We'll take a free suit from Jack Victor and an at-home haircut.
Is that good or what? That's what we got to do, baby. Depression mentality.
You didn't need to anglicize anything. your Jewish roots, your Peckerman is with you.
That's
deep
why
in your heart.
That's why I married an Irish gal, because they're used to a famine.
Honey, tonight we're celebrating with McDonald's.
Tonight, potatoes.
oh my god. That's really funny.
So do you and Claudia cuddle up for these award shows? Like, how does it go down? Oh, love it.
Yeah, we do. Actually, last night Last night we watched in, so we have Romeo now. So we have to.
How's that?
He's a puppy. It's great. It's hard. Puppies are definitely hard. You forget just like you have to really watch them. Otherwise they're going to pee and shit on everything. Mm. So you have like an hour of like playing with them, but in a very confined environment, then some time to themselves in the crate. But we watched in the living room. We don't have a TV yet in our living room. So I moved the TV from our second bedroom into our living room. We watched in the living room. Then Claudia decided that she no longer wanted to watch in the living room. So I moved the TV back from the living room into our second bedroom, and we finished off in our bedroom and watched the rest of the Oscars in bed. But all of that detail was incredibly unnecessary because we always watch the Oscars together. We always watch all the award shows together. We sit next to each other, just either critiquing or laughing or, but yes, it's an event and we watch all of those award shows together.
Not that you don't have to be up on everything, but she surely does just because 5 days a week and like it's, she has to know, like, is that a priority? Like for her, what kind of viewing does she prioritize?
She has to watch everything. Mm. Absolutely everything.
I bet.
Every TV show, every award show, just to know about it, whether or not she's going to talk about it. She's probably the most learned person I know in all of pop culture. There's nothing that she doesn't know about or hasn't heard about because, yeah, Toast 5 days a week. What are we, giving them an ad?
I know. What are we, a toast shell?
Yes, we are.
God bless the toast.
But yeah, we sat, we watched. It was great.
By the way, do you look at John Cena's body? John Cena, who was naked?
Oh, my God. I forgot about Cena.
How can that be?
First of all, what a hunk. How do you have those? Or you're talking about just like the indentation from the pubis down.
They're called dick lines.
Unbelievable. Yeah. It was crazy.
That's cool.
And like, but like, why did he do that?
Is that attractive, Marshall? Or it's a type.
I'm looking at a photo again. This is a type. Yeah. I think being extremely muscular isn't attractive to everyone, truthfully. And
I would
a lot
agree
of my girlfriends, don't like it. But he looks great, of course.
Yeah.
He looks strong. He looks like a wrestler. I just don't understand why he did it. Like I remembered looking at this and thinking to myself, yeah, this is funny, but you're John Cena. Like, do you need this kind of gag laugh?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, just like the irony that it was the costume award. And then he has a movie coming out. So,
oh, he does?
Yeah, for Amazon.
Got it. Well, I love John Cena. And I thought that was incredibly funny. I was just thinking to myself, like, I don't know, his wife, like, are they thrilled with this? His family? I don't know. Maybe they're used to his shtick by now.
I think if you got, I remember when I did on James Corden, we did the Jewish boy band for Hanukkah, Boys to Menorah, right?
Yes.
And it was me and Zach Braff and Chris Mintz-Plasse and, oh my God, I feel terrible. I'm blanking on his name. I'm an idiot. But the incredible singer-songwriter, you know who he is.
No clue.
He's handsome as hell. He's gorgeous. I'm like literally having-
John Mayer?
Not John Mayer. I'm having a brain fart. Charlie
Jake
Puth.
Gyllenhaal?
Jake Gyllenhaal it was. It was Ryan Barbie.
Got it.
Jake Barbie. Charlie Puth. And, and you know, I remember they said to me, oh, because sometimes, you know, people can think I'm slightly fit under my clothes. And then I'm like, you don't want to see what's under here. And they were like, hey, you know, there is that thing with boy bands where sometimes a guy will like have the jacket with no shirt on or something and like be showing his abs. Like, would you be comfortable doing that? And I was like, no, absolutely not. And they were like, okay, gotcha.
I didn't know Charlie Puth was Jewish.
Mm-hmm. I think he's a halfer.
Got it. Anglicized as well or no?
Probably.
Puthstein?
Who knows? John, who knew John? I didn't actually know John Mayer was Jewish.
He is?
His father. Mayer.
Wow.
Mayer.
Thank God.
No wonder it's your wife's hall pass.
Thank God. Yeah. No wonder.
Do you know who Sean Avery is?
The ex-New York Ranger?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Sean Avery has become a buddy of mine because he was great. He's now an actor and he was in Oppenheimer. He's been in two Nolan movies.
Wow.
Really talented guy, real guy's guy. And we bro down on set and we've since become friendly. And we had a really funny moment Saturday night. He was certainly chippy when he was in the NHL. He was a guy who certainly didn't didn't shirk away from a fight. And I would say that's made its way out of hockey as well. He's not afraid to throw down. He does jujitsu and he's a solid dude. Anyway, we went to a party and he parked kind of in this neighborhood in Westwood. And so we just kind of took one car into the party because there was a valet thing. So I'm driving him back to his car and we see these like 7 or 8, like 17-year-old kids. And they just look like they're up to no good. No good. You know what I'm saying? It's after mm-hmm. 9. They're in the parking lot of a KFC. I mean, what do you expect? Not kosher. So I said, boys, it's Shabbos. You should be doing haftalah. What are we doing here? And they're carrying this gigantic pallet, like a wooden pallet. And we're like, what's going on here? We don't say anything, but I park. And Sean's getting out of my car and the boys kind of scream, like talk shit to us, like something about my Tesla. I don't know. They might be really into burning fossil fuel. And I see Sean snap his head to them and I'm like, here we fucking go. I'm like, I'm going to be on TMZ that I got in a fight with a bunch of high schoolers. And Sean said it and it was so perfect because coming from us, it wouldn't have sounded cool, but from him it did. He goes, hey, listen, you hoodlums, he goes, unless one of you wrestles, you're going to get your head bashed in. So keep walking. And I was like, that was incredible.
Oh, my God. What would I have done in that situation?
Hey, mom.
Fake phone call instantly.
Fake phone call.
I am out. Wow. I've always been so jealous of those that can really take on that confrontation. I'm running straight for the hills. I see a couple of mischievous kids after dark outside of KFC. I am running.
There are certain fast food chains where you feel like there's more likely some illegal activity, and a KFC is one of them.
It's just fast food chains in general. Fast food at night outside, I'm out.
That's true.
I'm totally out. I don't want anything to do with it. I told you about my one time at the Denny's Scranton. The Scranton Denny's, right? I've told you that story.
You have, because I remember you. Did you end up at a great diner was said and done? Okay.
We ended up at a great diner in Scranton, but we first started off in that Denny's in Scranton. Again, 9:30 at night, pop into that Denny's. Thought I was going to lose my life in that Denny's in Scranton. There's just something about nighttime fast food. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I love a Denny's franchise. I love a Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity. And I like the claw machines because my son loves it in the front with the little stuffed animals.
Yes. Have you ever had Yolk? Are you familiar with that franchise, Yolk?
I'm not.
Fantastic. Kind of like a Denny's. Just like a little bit cleaner. Mm. There are a couple of them. I recently had one in Boca. The first time I ever had one was in Chicago. I think they're starting a franchise. But there aren't enough really good just breakfast options in the fast food world. Like, sure, you can go to McDonald's and you can get an egg sandwich, but I like the institution. I guess that's just a diner, though, right? Like, you could just go into a diner.
Do you like a Waffle House?
I've never been.
Oh, God. Marshall, you been?
Mm-mm.
Wow, you boys haven't lived. Waffle House is great.
Is it like IHOP?
Yeah, but it's better. It's extremely Southern, but they have it in other places but the South. But 24 hours, everything's done like on a flat top. So it's like, what's it called? Fast order cook or something to that? Short order cook.
Sure. I'm just looking to go into somewhere. I don't need like the most gluttonous breakfast every time I pop into one of those places.
So
that's
true.
Why I kind of like I like just going in for like eggs and potatoes.
Right.
I like a nice home fry, a nice omelet. Mm. But I don't want to go in there, eat waffles, pancakes. It's too much for me. It's too much, especially now that, I don't know, trying to watch my weight a little bit. It's just too much. So I like the Denny's eggs typically, but they were too scary. They were too scary.
I love pancakes. Pancakes are an insane idea. It's insane. It's dessert for breakfast.
Yes. 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 Totally. It is. They all are. All of that food. I remember like there's like all these new healthy cereals that have just come out, and it's because all that we've been doing is feeding our kids Frosted Flakes. But
yes.
Like the idea of starting your day with so much sugar, all they're going to do is crash.
Totally. Yeah, it's a wild prospect, except all I want when I first wake up is something sweet. I don't want anything savory.
No, something delicious. I absolutely love the pancake. I just made, over the weekend, I made the most delicious sandwich. I made schnitzel.
It looked unreal.
Josh, it was so good. Ugh. Schnitzel, coleslaw, spicy mayonnaise, and the bread I used was challah French toast.
Wow.
Oh my. Oh my, was this a treat. Oh, was this a treat. It was so, so good.
Would you say it was your best bite of the week?
That was my best bite of the week, yes. Yeah. That was.
It should
and then
be.
I have a worst bite, but what was your best bite of the week?
My best, look, and you shame me for this at BBYO, and I'm fine with it. But I got to tell you, I make a hell of a matzo brie. And my son, Shy, he loves it, and we share it. Basically, for you wonderful Gentiles out there, and Marshall, no, a matzo brie is a... you take some matzah, which is basically just unleavened bread. Heard of it? Read the Bible. And then you break it up. You let it soak in the eggs for like 15 minutes. Then you fry it. But you do a quick fry, right? Because you still want it to be like, you know, on the rare side with eggs. It sounds gross, but you know what I'm talking about.
Of course.
And then you put it on the plate and you put cinnamon sugar on it. Ay, delish. But Ben,
you made matzah brie this weekend?
Uh-huh. I made it on Friday.
So you have matzah in the house year round?
Yes, because if Max wants a snack, little cream cheese on the matzah. So beautiful.
Wow.
Gorgeous.
So much culture. So much culture. My worst bite of the week. I'm not going to share the name of the restaurant because I don't think that's nice, right? We don't do that?
Yeah, that's not nice.
Or we do that, right? It's not nice.
I don't think you need to.
Okay. Italian place in the city. The food was actually pretty solid. But this dish, listen to this dish. I ordered this dish. It's a cannelloni, hen of the woods, winter greens, bechamel mozzarella, Gruyere, and Parmesan. A pasta dish. Sounds delicious. I love a hen of the woods mushroom. That's that meaty, beefy mushroom. It's thick. It's like a big, I love those. Love those.
What's cannelloni again?
Okay, so this is the problem. This is the problem. I assumed cannelloni was a normal noodle.
Yes.
I assumed that maybe it was a spaghetti or a fettuccine or an angel hair or even a macaroni or a penne. I assumed it was in the normal pasta family. So I didn't bother to ask.
Sure.
It came as one enormous noodle.
Nuts.
Stuffed with all this shit. Stuffed. Like one huge stuffed shell, which like, I'm sorry, if you're ordering stuffed shells, you're going to have diarrhea.
It's
just too much.
Get out of my restaurant. Nuts.
I have no interest in one huge stuffed shell. No interest. So this cannelloni comes and I'm eating it. It's just so heavy. And it was just like, it was so disappointing. Mm. And I never thought that I'd need to ask, what shape is this noodle? I just assumed that it was an appropriate shape for the dish. That was my worst bite of the week.
Ugh, don't I get that? That's crazy.
Crazy. It was just way too much.
You don't need to deviate from the rig. Let's be real.
You definitely don't ever need to deviate from rigatoni. I couldn't agree more. Just play it safe. Nice and safe.
Well, I have another New York Post article that is, you know, snapped right out of the headlines. And it is something that is going on somewhere near where you live, Ben. Long Island vegan bakery under investigation for allegedly trying to pass off Dunkin' Donuts as its own. This hits close to home.
Dunkin' Donuts what?
This hurts our Marshall.
They're passing off Dunkin' Donuts donuts?
They're saying that Dunkin' Donuts, they're saying they're vegan donuts are different, but they're actually just buying Dunkin' Donuts and putting them in their store.
And are Dunkin' Donuts donuts, I would assume, not vegan?
Not vegan.
Obviously?
No.
What the hell?
Cindy Snacks, first of all, that name, a specialty vegan grocer.
Cindy Snacks.
In Huntington. Oh, wait, maybe they're not to blame. Maybe it's the vendor. Accused one of its vendors, the Savory Fig, of supplying it with non-vegan donuts tainted with allergens that it didn't even cook in a March 4th Instagram post. The post included a photo of a strawberry frosted donut covered in tiny purple and orange colored D's that looks suspiciously similar to the donut and sprinkles found at Dunkin' Donuts, which contain dairy and gluten. Oh, I guess it was a gluten-free place as well. I immediately became concerned as to why this one donut was decorated differently than all the others in such a strikingly similar way to a recognizable chain. And yeah, they're doing a full-on investigation, babe.
What a terrible cover-up job. You're going to give them donuts that have the Dunkin' Donuts symbol
not good.
On them? On them? Not good at all. That's honestly, it's a terrible story. I hate that. It's also, people are going to get sick. You're going in there. The vegan, sure. Some people do it by choice, but the dairy-free. What if somebody was allergic to dairy? They pop in and get one of those Dunkin' Donuts dead on the floor.
Yeah, or they can't do the gluten. They got the celiac.
Absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible.
That sounds like that, but celiac might need rebranding because the silly's in the title, and that just sounds fun.
It does sound way too fun for such a very scary disease,
yes.
Celiac.
Crazy.
Yes. I'm 100% with you.
If you mistakenly ate something that wasn't vegan, Marshall, would you be upset?
No. I've done it before. It was an accident, and I think it's more about kind of my intention behind it all, not necessarily being 100% perfect.
Totally.
So Marshall is vegan like I am kosher.
No, he's not.
No, I'm pretty serious about it.
He's not fake.
Oh my God, shoot at me. My intention is always in the right place. Now, Marshall, actually, this is a good question. If you go to like the most unbelievable steakhouse,
please.
Will you try a piece of meat if it's somewhere that you don't normally get to go to?
100% no.
You're like my Jewish mother when she offers my wife, who's been vegan for a decade, she goes, "Would you like a little shrimp?" And she goes, "Barb, I'm vegan. She goes, "So, shrimp?" I go, "Mom." She goes, "What, you telling me shrimp's not vegan?" No.
All right, so maybe me and Marshall are a little bit different. If I'm met with just a gorgeous hunk of beef, I gotta try it once. And then if it's really good, I'll try it again.
Well, Marshall, it sounds like you're like my wife. Like if my wife really had these great fries the other day and she's like, "Oh, these are so good." And then she found out that they're fried in duck fat. And she was like,
So here's the question. This is important. Did Paige have an inkling that they could have been fried in duck fat before she ate them?
So she said, like, she knows that McDonald's fries are fried in beef tallow. So she just won't go. But she didn't know. And certainly, you know, veganism has come far enough that they can make a great fry, right? Potatoes are inherently vegan friendly. But now she knows. And it's not like she goes, meh. She goes, "All right, so I won't have them anymore." Is that same for you, Marsh?
Yeah, I'd probably ask the oil, like the chef, what oil they cook it in.
Wow.
But, yeah, I go kind of far.
Wow.
It's annoying, though. This isn't fun.
Yes, definitely annoying, especially for the people you're out with.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to Crossroads, Marshall, where we got you the gift card?
Yeah, it was incredible. Incredible.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, thank you again.
He deserves it.
Yes, you do, Marshall.
And aren't we the best, Ben? No, I'm kidding.
It's a quick pat on the back.
And should we do our What Are You Nuts?
I'm down. Yeah.
Go for it, babe.
Okay. You're out at a restaurant. This happened to me recently. We're all sitting at a table having a nice time. Order drinks, order food. Somebody says you want to try a little of this drink. Like you want to try this drink.
Mm.
The assumption is that they're giving you something that they liked, right? Like, "Hey, you want to try this?" Right?
Sure.
Because they'd want you to experience how much they enjoyed their drink. Kid goes to me, "You want to try this?" I said, "Sure." Tried it. He's like, "Disgusting, right?" I'm like, "What do you mean disgusting, right?" He's like, "Yeah, it's terrible. Like, what do you think I should do? Should I return it?" Why are you telling me to try something? People love doing that. "Oh, try this. It's terrible." He didn't even tell me that it was terrible. But in general, the whole phenomena behind, "I didn't like this, so you should try it and you should experience how much you too don't like it." What are you, nuts? Keep your bad drink to yourself. If you don't like your drink, return it to the waiter. Return it to the waiter. If you want to make a stink, you make a stink. Don't make me drink the bad drink.
So true.
Nuts.
Nuts.
Nuts. Nuts.
Well, we started with anglicizing names. We might as well end it. I got to tell you, I recently found out that Steven Seagal, shout out the great. He's got many things that are what are you nuts, but I think first and foremost, the biggest what are you nuts is that his name is Steven Seagal and he's a Jew from Michigan, okay?
You're lying.
We're calling him Steven Seagal. It's Steven Seagal, okay? I just saw a video of him from the 80s and they're like, Steven Seagal, who owns an Aikido school. And it's like, what have we been doing? What are you, nuts? It's not Seagal, it's Seagal.
That is probably the greatest. Oh my God, that is unbelievable. I had no idea. And so simple. He was right there in front of us the whole time.
Yeah, it's like Safair and so far.
Oh my God, yeah. Seagal and Seagal. Yeah. What a sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. Very, very sneaky.
Take us home, Ben.
Folks, what an episode. If you didn't like it, what are you nuts? Rate us 5 stars, Apple, Spotify. Watch us on Josh's YouTube. Share our clips. Send it to a friend. The ratings go a long way towards getting this show to be the biggest podcast the world has ever seen. We're now an Oscar-winning show. What more could you want? What more could you want? We're so happy doing this podcast every week, Mondays and Thursdays, remember, twice a week. And folks, we'll see you next time.
Love you.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.